Okay, we continue in Sefer Shoftim, we're in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. We've been introduced to Yiftach and how he had to run away from his family due to his unique pedigree that he had. And we learned in the Perek before that the Jewish people are being oppressed by Ammon. So now we put the two stories together in Pasuk Dalet. Vayihi miyamim, and it was after a number of days. Vayilachamu b'nei Ammon im Yisrael, and the b'nei Ammon were at war with the Jewish people. Pasuk Hey, we're going to cover a lot of ground today. Vayihi kasher nilchamu b'nei Ammon im Yisrael, and it was when the b'nei Ammon were fighting with the Jewish people. Vayelchu ziknei gilod lokachas es yiftoch me'eretz tov. The elders of Gilad went to take Yiftach from the land of Tov, whatever we said that was, either from the city called Tov or the place where there was a man named Tov who owned that area. But they came to take him. Interestingly, last night we discussed what it means, Vayikach, to take. Lokachas, to take. To take it means to persuade. They wanted to persuade Yiftach to come. So what does that mean? So the Malbim explains that they weren't taking him back because of their proper propriety in behavior. They just wanted him back because they needed him. And remember, we said yesterday that the family chased him away, and the elders of the city made no protest to that. So you could be sure Yiftach was well aware of the injustice that was condoned towards him. And now these elders are the very same people who condoned his mistreatment, and they're the ones now coming over to him and asking him for help. So you're going to see now, obviously, certain differences in this Yiftach character than, for example, in a Yosef character. Okay, big differences. Pasuk Vav. So let's see what they ask from him. Vayomru li Yiftach, they said to Yiftach, Lecha, go, vahayisa lanu likatsin, and you will be for us a military commander. Vini lochamma bivnei Ammon, and we will fight against the people of Ammon. So let's hear exactly what is it that they're asking from him. So we're going to do all this straight through with the explanation of the Malbim. So there's a difference between, in Hebrew, and we'll see in a minute the other word, between the Hebrew word rosh and katsin. Okay. Katsin is a fellow who stands by the edge of the camp because of his importance and his significant significance either in strength or in wealth or in wisdom. But a very honorable person is the katsin, who is involved in the war. He's involved in a military capacity, but he is not the Rosh. He is not the head. He doesn't rule over them. He doesn't make the decisions over them. You know, we'll say like he's, a captain, but he ain't the general. Okay. He isn't the one calling the shots. He's good at fighting. That's it. And quite often, it is a prestigious role as well. But what do they say? They want you to be a katsin. Now, they don't discuss what he's going to get for it, what kind of reward, what kind of payment he's going to get for it. They just say, right now, you'll be the katsin. And they're trying to say, oh, this is a very prestigious job. Since you're so strong, we're going to give you a very important military role over here. So they're trying to say, well, you're a very special guy, and we're giving you a very special military role. And, you know, obviously, you know, because they need him. Now, really, it's not his affair. He's no longer in Gilad. He's somewhere else. And, you know, it's more interesting. It didn't bother him when he hears, you know, that Amon is fighting his fellow citizens, former citizens, and he says, you know, good, let them rot. You know, they got their own problems. It's not like he hears and he runs over. They're going to him. So, what do they not? They do not say, oh, well, we're sorry, you know, that we abused you years ago and it was wrong, and okay, now we need you, so we're asked. You know, they just go over and say, okay, you will be the katzin, but we will fight the Battle of Amon. In other words, and the credit still will be for us. We will fight the battle. So Yiftach, now I can imagine, you know, if it was Yosef HaTzadik, he would say, sure, whatever I could do to help. Right? I would imagine. We get a little bit of a different response. And beginning to see the personality of Yiftach now. Vayomer Yiftach leziknei Gilad. Yiftach responds to the elders of Gilad. Halo atem senesim osi. Don't you hate me? Vatigoreshuni mi beisofi, and you drove me out of the house of my father. Even though they didn't drive him out, but since they were silently allowing it to happen, it's as if they did that. Madua bosam elai ato, why are you coming to me now? Kasher tsar lochem, while things are not good for you, while things are being oppressed. So the Malbim explains, you're coming to me, you're trying to think I'm so stupid, right? That you're coming and say, oh, you're going to be a katzin because you're important. As if to say, well, it's not like we're calling you because we need you, but since you're an important guy and we love you so much, we want you to be in this special role. No. You know, you can't fool me. Because don't you hate me? Didn't you chase me out from the house of my father? I was so low in your eyes that you couldn't care less about me. And the truth of the matter is, if you were coming to me, if let's say you had come to me in peace time and say we'd like you to have a prestigious military position, that would be one thing. But you're coming to me kasher tsar lachem. You're coming to me when things are very difficult. So it's not that, you know, if you wanted to say you were sorry, you'd come to me during peace times and say we want you to have a prestigious position, want to make it up to you. It's one thing. But, you know, the past wasn't good, and the present isn't indicative of any tshuva on your part, because you're only coming because you're in trouble. And let's call a spade a spade. And more than that, why should I go to help you, and you're not even offering me anything? You know, you're saying, oh, you know, if you're at good terms with somebody, and you love somebody, and you say, listen, you know, we're good friends, we're in trouble, will you help me? A good friend will always help you. But you hate me. We're not friends. You couldn't care less about me. This isn't times of peace. It's times of war. You're in trouble. You need me. So and you're not even offering me anything. Okay, somebody got to offer me. Why should I come with it? It's not exactly what I would call a tzaddik's response, right? Okay, it's a clever person who is trying to maximize the opportunity now and extort what he can from the opportunity. You can be sure that these leaders were ashamed of themselves, and they themselves know they're only coming because they need him. So you at least say, you're sorry, we were wrong, you're right, okay, we need you. We're bad, what can I say? But then they're coming up like that. They're trying to make it look smooth, like this. Everything's great, you're an important guy, we want to honor you and this and that. Covering up, they're mamish like politicians. So he's reading right through it, and he's not being very diplomatic. He's just saying, "You're full of baloney." That's what he's saying to them. Yeah.
I'm not sure why are they asking him. There's nobody else.
Remember, it says he was a gibor chayil in pasuk aleph. They didn't have any gibor chayils like him.
You need a courageous warrior.
Someone who's going to lead the troops and is not afraid and has got, you know, the...
thousands of people.
He attracted a bunch of roughnecks which were good fighters. That's what he did.
Yeah, it could be.
There didn't seem to be a lot of greatness. Like, there was a lot of, you know, there,
He was the best of.
He was a fighter.
That's what, and you're right. And he had a ragtag chevra with him also.
Rocknicks, and they were good for that.
So yeah, he probably had his little unit. Would help him what he has to do.
Yeah,
right. Right. Obviously, if they had more better, they wouldn't cut. Believe me, they wouldn't go to him.
That's right.
The last person you want to ask is that.
Just from the pasuk until here, it could look as if he's trying to bring them. You could say that he was trying to bring them to tshuva. If you didn't know what happened later, you could say that he was saying, "Come on, guys, be honest. You have to. You did wrong. At least say straight why you needed me, and maybe you know." Could until this point,
section
like that.
No, but he
was looking after his
listen,
own interest.
What would it have mattered? He just could have said, yes.
Yeah.
You need me, I'm there for you.
The
and that's what a proper Jew would say. You need
Yosef also did things that
No, he didn't do it.
I'm not comparing Chas v'Shalom. Yosef is a tzaddik, he's one of my favorite.
No.
I'm just saying that he did things that if you didn't understand, if the Torah didn't
okay,
exist,
but
We're there to help. It would have looked like.
But even when he revealed himself to the brothers, he didn't make them feel bad, and he comforted them, and he always
revealed himself.
Well, before he wasn't allowed to. So that you can't compare the two.
I'm just saying that it could look like here, like he's.
Okay. No. A tzaddik here would have just said yes, or he would say And that's all. It's not his place to extract the tshuva. It's a time of danger. Just help them out. Just help them out. So okay. So they see that he's not being so easy to deal with. Pasuk Ches. Vayomru ziknei Gilad al Yiftach. So the elders of Gilad respond to Yiftach. Lachena toshavnu elecha. Okay. Therefore, okay. Now you will return with us. Valachta imanu, and you will go with us. V'nilchamto b'vnei Amon, and you will fight with the b'nei Amon. And guess what? If you win, v'hayisolonu l'rosh l'chol yoshvei Gilad. So then you will be the leader of all the people who inhabit Gilad. Okay, we'll allow you to be the big leader. That's gonna be your reward. In other words, okay. Now they still didn't say the sorry. Okay, And they say, okay, we're going to give you a reward that you're going to be the leader. So, one second. So now that's assuming that you win.
Yeah.
Right? Assuming that you win. So what's his response to that? So you might think he'd be happy with that response. No. Yomer Yiftach Azik Negilot. So Gilad, Yiftach responds to them and says, If you are returning me to fight against the people of Ne'amon, v'nosan l'rosh, and then you're going to make me a leader. What does he mean with this? That's a very difficult one. So the Malbim explains. He said, you still haven't shown any love by your second response anymore. And you haven't shown any regret over the past. And you're making it look like... that you're paying me for this. In other words, you're kind of saying, okay, this is your payment, you're going to be the leader. He says, and what do you think? Anybody who leads troops into battle and wins a battle, don't you think he automatically becomes the leader? In other words, what are you doing for me? You're not doing me any favor. Anybody in any normal course of war who leads, you're in trouble, and the guy leads, you know, I don't need you to come, you're not doing me any favor, you're not paying me anything. It's like automatic that the guy who wins the war, he becomes the leader, right? You'd have to make me the leader no matter what, because how are you going to have any further protection? So it's not like you're offering me something wonderful. Really? Okay, so we'll pay you out with this. It's not a payout. That's no matter who would come, that would be the automatic result, and not because of any goodness or any business deal or anything. So what have you offered? You still haven't offered me anything. So what does he really want? So he wants them to make him the leader now. That's what he wants. Not contingent on any victory. In other words, he's really squeezing them to, I want the covet now. And of course they don't want to give him the covet. They didn't want to give him any covet. So he's extorting them to do much more than what they wanted to offer him. You know, already being the leader before you've proven anything, okay, now that already, okay, there's probably some covet and gaiva over here, whatever. Because I want you to make me the leader right now. And that's my conditions. So Pasuk Yud, Vayomru Ziknei Gilad al Yiftach, so the elders of Gilad spoke to Yiftach and says, Hashem Yiyeh Shomea Bein Oseinu. Hashem should be the one who hears what's going on between us. Im lochid varecha kein nase. If not as your words, so we will do. In other words, they agree to the terms. They agree to the terms. That we'll make you the leader right away over this area of Gilad. And you got what you want, man. In other words, you got sort of your sweet revenge. That's what it really was. It was the sweet revenge. You're going to have to make me the leader now. You need me? You're going to have to pay for it. How do you pay for it? I'm going to be the boss. Now, obviously, the elders of Gilead, I guess, would have preferred to have held on to power. And then, okay, we'll use you as a lackey. That's what they wanted to do. He says, you're not going to make a lackey out of me. I want to be the top-notch guy. Which really means, you know, you've had to come on to me, and now you've had to abdicate your rulership because of that. You know, we still ain't friends. This is pure business now. And that's what happened over there. Okay, so what happens next? Vayelech Yiftach im Ziknei Gilad. So Yiftach is willing to go with the elders of Gilad. Vayesimu hamaso aleim l'rosh l'katzin, and the people made him as a rosh, as the leader, and also a katzin, and also the military prestigious position. They gave him everything. Vaydeber Yiftach is called Varov Lifnei Hashem Bamitzpah. And Yiftach relates all his words before Hashem in Mitzpah. So what does that pasuk mean? That he's relating everything, the words, before Hashem in Mitzpah. So what's the Dvarav? What's the Dvarav? So Rashi says it's the covenant that they just made that he would be the leader. In other words, he reviewed the conditions of the negotiations that he had with the leaders. He's now making a speech before all the people. They all gathered together in Mitzvah. He says, okay, since you guys need me, you know, this is the terms of our deal, that I become the leader. Now, I call all the shots. Now, I'm going to be the Rosh. I'm going to be the Katzin. And you got to remember, you know, I'm sure, you know, the city of Gilead, you know, never looked that favorably upon Yiftach, and now it's like, what's he doing up here? Well, why are they putting him on top? He says, this was the deal that was made, and this is the way it's got to be. So that's the simple pshat of what it means. He related his words. That's the first pshat. The Masudas David says that his words were, now he adds more, it's the Lifnei Hashem part. You know, according to Rashi, where's the Lifnei Hashem aspect over here? So he's saying Lifnei Hashem means he davened. He led them in tefillah. Those were his words. Now, what's the aspect of, that's one aspect of Lifnei Hashem. Another aspect is, Mitzpah was the place where the Jewish people gathered all together. And wherever the Jewish people gathered together, that's where the Shekhinah rests. So in other words, there was a lot of Jews together, and therefore everything he said was before Hashem. It was, when they get a lot of Jews together, the divine presence is there. No different than a minion, as it were. The Radak mentions something very interesting. And he says, where is that? As he explained in Sefer Yeshua, that this mitzvah was the same mitzvah where all the Canaanite kings gathered together to fight against Yeshua. And there was a great salvation that happened over there in this place. And it was customary for Jews to gather over there as a remembrance of this was a place where God helped them a lot. So over there was a mizbeach and a shul, as it were. So it's that very mitzvah where they all came together with Yiftach to review the words that they agreed to. In other words, they looked at it as a holy place, a lifnei Hashem type of place. It's like a shul, a holy place. So therefore, it was in this place in which all the conditions were reviewed. Okay. So now that Yiftach's been put in charge, so now he acts like he's in charge. And Pasuk Yud Beis, and now for the next, oh boy, lots of psukim now. going to go 20, from Yud Beis to Chaf Ches, are the negotiations now between Yiftach and the Bnei Amos. That's the next slew of sukkim. But so what did we really see up to this point? We really are seeing a lot of Yiftach's character, that he is very strong-minded, and to get what he wants. Like he not an easy chevraman, okay? Not an easy going guy, to say the least. On the other hand, you also see that, listen, as much as the people didn't like him, as much as he didn't like them, but somehow they were able to get together and fight together in this war. It could have been they were so arrogant, say we don't need him, we don't want him, we'd rather lose than have to come on to him. And he could say, you know, I don't care what happens to you guys. So somehow, you know, it was a danger, so people had to compromise a little bit in order to save the Jewish people. But still was not what we would say the most friendly, cordial gathering of these minds, as it were. So this is, you already see, remember we said, Hashem had enough of the Jewish people, right? He was fed up with the Jewish people. He says, okay, you know, I'm gonna ease it up on you, the troubles, but any salvation is going to come is going to be very natural. Meaning to say, I didn't endow him with the spirit of prophecy. I didn't make him. This is not what you'd call your religious poster boy, shofet. You know, this is like real deep, you know, dirty type of politics was going on over here. And this is how the Moshiach, this is how the leader is coming up in a very, you know, it's not a very harmonious way. It's not like when Barak ben Avinoam is exhorted by the prophetess in the name of Hashem, let's go and defend the Jewish people and we don't need so many people. Or Hashem tells Gilad, you only need 300 people to come. I mean, you're sensing Hashem is there. Hashem is making it happen. Here you got it. Gilad doesn't like them. They don't like him. Well, okay, we need you to fight the war, and he selfishly asks for covet and all these things. This is like how it's in a real political world. So it's doesn't taste right, because God's saying, okay, there's going to be a salvation, it's going to come, but it's going to come very without my involvement here. So you can already see that there's not a lot of, you know, like okay, you know, let's get back together. It's very much, he's almost like a mercenary in a certain way, that, you know, he extorted from them, and that's how it came out. So, you know, even if after he wins, what kind of feeling is there going to be? You know, so that's the feeling you're getting. You're not going to get this great feeling, oh, the man of God went and helped them, and this is going to inspire everyone to do tshuva and this and that. This is not there. Okay, yeah?
Where I keep seeing, repeating the emunah that he has, Yiftach, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, was higher than them.
Because why? Why do you see that he has more emunah than them?
Yes, because he tells them, okay, I don't want to be just katzin, I want to be Rosh, and let Kadosh Baruch Hu will decide.
Where does he say that? Excuse me. Where did you have that last clause?
Here. I suppressed the hands before, but you
Okay.
But the Gershuni tells them, you threw me out, you're coming to me.
Yeah.
You're coming to me, like, as I know, Hashem is with me.
Where?
Here, he tells them.
What pasuk?
I think she means pasuk tef, and atan Hashem atam
with anai. Video, here. Where? I skipped those words. I'm sorry. Thank you. It was on the other column. You know what? Because every page, it's on the right side. Nothing on the left side. Commentaries.
And
okay, I'm sorry.
You hated me, and you didn't like me. He has a.
Okay, let me go back to Pasuk Tes. I left out a few words. I'm sorry. So Yiftach said to them on the second round, he says, "You want me to fight with Amon? V'nasan Hashem osam lefonai, and Hashem will put them before me."
Yeah.
it, but he means say if Hashem will put them before me. If
he
I'll,
knows he does.
If I'll have,
he was talking to Hashem since he is a child.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
He went through.
I don't know about that.
Listen,
no, that's a big assumption. You'd have to have a proof to that from all the Chazal. From all the Chazal, we don't seem to see that in him.
So he agreed when they tell him, right. Okay, we will.
It's interesting, you know. The reason why I was able to skip through that line is because like none of the commentaries shtelt upon it. They didn't really have much to say on that. One second.
He doesn't jump into a war right away. He does talk. He's negotiating.
Well, you'll see why. Hold on. Wait till we get to those psukim. We'll discuss that, why he's doing that. Because he wants to act like the leader. You know, we'll do that 1 minute. But the fact he just says Hashem will put them, you know, that's sort of an uncharacteristic line that he throws in over there. There's none of them aforesham, when I looked at the first time, that made much play on the fact that Hashem, you know, that's the standard line, you know, and if Hashem helps me, then I will win. The truth is, it's very uncharacteristic of him, and all the commentators seem to just let it go by. No one makes one comment on that fact that he says that. So I'm not sure how to read that. I hear what you're saying. He is mentioning Hashem, okay, but he's not acting like a man of God. That's for sure. So that's an interesting point. Thank you. We'll have to put that into the mix as we continue to see if it's. Okay. You'll see. He doesn't act like a man of God. He doesn't. You will see.
You will see.
Okay. You know, listen. And you know what? Even the biggest Balgaiva presidents in the United States, at the end of their, you know, when they have to go to Iraq and all that, and they say, we're going to do this and this, and with God's help, you know, and may God bless America. You know, it's like you throw in, you know, it's always good to say, may God bless America. You know, they're not saying, you know, this is the will of God and this and that. If Hashem helps me, then I win. So, you know, but that's about all I think the commentaries read into that.
Okay.
Yud Beis. So now that he is the leader, so now, of course, the first thing a leader is going to try to do is to not have to fight. A real leader doesn't take his people into war. You try to negotiate. You try to get out of this situation over here. So that's what he begins, Yud Beis. Vayishlach Yiftach Malochim El Melech B'nei Amon Lemor. Yiftach sends messengers to the king of B'nei Amon, saying, that's interesting, they're always called B'nai Amon, which is like really weird, because every time there were enemies, they weren't called the B'nai Moav, the B'nai Plishtim, the B'nai Canaan, just the Canaan.
That's right.
So it's like this, and it's really a Melech, you call him Melech Amon. Right? This is where it's like more noticeable than anywhere else. He calls them Melech Amon. The king of Ammon. This is Melech B'nai Ammon.
They were unified.
We never call that by any other nation. The Melech B'nai Canaan.
That's right.
So what does that mean? So you know, as we will see further, you know, it could very well be the first type of Palestinian people. You know, we deal with the Palestinians. Are they a country? I'm saying it's like the B'nai Palestinians. You know, it's the people. We're descendants of so and so, but they may not necessarily have a real land. The B'nai Amon, because we will see historically, the people of Amon were defeated by Sichon, and they lost their land. And the Jews conquered it from Sichon. This was the good old fashioned, there was a country on a land. Ammon had their land. If you recall, in Sefer Bamidbor, when the Jewish people wanted to come into Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to cut through. So Hashem said, you know, you're not allowed to start up with Ammon, you're not allowed to start up with Moab. Why can't you start with those countries? Because they're your cousins. Remember, Ammon and Moab were the sons of Lot. Okay, was born right after the destruction of Sodom. Okay? That's Ammon and Moab. So, and Lot's a nephew of Ammon. So they're our relatives. Hashem says, you can't set up with these guys. This is their portion. This is their land. You can't go in and ever take their land away from them. What happened, so therefore the Jews, when they wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't make trouble. It Torah says they went around Moab. They couldn't go through. They did have a war with Sichon. They defeated Sichon because they wanted to pass by Sichon and Melech Hamori. And what did he do? They said, "Can we just go through your land and we'll pay and we'll this and that?" And Sichon went to war with them, and the Jews won. Now, what another little piece of information was: Sichon also battled Ammon and Moab and defeated them and took their land. So now, when the Jews defeated Sichon, they took Sichon's land and Moab and Ammon's land.
Wait, so the Jews couldn't go through Ammon, but it was already lost to Sichon.
So no, it was, there's a little time in between in which there were some battles. Right? So what really happened is these Ammon people were displaced. They're displaced people. So they're the Bnei Ammon. The Bnei Ammon. And I guess that their Arafat, who was the Melech Bnei Ammon. Do you understand? So I guess they were people, so to speak, without a real country. Because the Jews have been living it. So they're, what do you call them? They're refugees. Right? So they have all these refugees, Bnei Ammon refugees. So they wanted to get their land back finally. And it took time, long time as we'll see, like a good 300 years. And they're making their claim for their land. Sound familiar? Right? So Yiftach is sending, so that's why maybe they're called Bnei Ammon. The Bnei Ammon, they're not Ammon. They used to have Ammon. The Palestinians. You know, not the king of Palestine. Arafat wasn't called the king of Palestine. He's king of the Palestinians. It's like the son of Palestine. You know what I'm saying? They have a connection, but they're not in their land. It's not theirs. But they claim that it's theirs. So that's really the issue. So either, like now, they finally were strong enough to wage war against the Jews and to make trouble. And remember, there were other people who were the ones that were oppressing the Jews. The Plishtim. Again, even there, look back, Perek Yud Pasuk Zion. Hashem handed them over, Biyad Plishtim, Ubiyad Bnei Ammon. What's this Biyad Bnei Ammon business? Just say Ubiyad Ammon. It's like so crazy. So obviously the Plishtim, they were in their place. Plishtim were never displaced. The Jews never kicked the Plishtim out. But the Bnei Ammon, who's the Bnei Ammon? Well, they're people who were displaced people who, wherever they were, maybe they had, you know, their cities of refuge, wherever they were. So you can see they wanted it back, right? So that's why they're called the Bnei Ammon. So it's interesting that, you know, why is Yiftach negotiating with them? The truth of the matter is he doesn't have to. He can go straight to war with them. Ramban has a whole long piece in Dvarim that even though we can't start up with them, but if they start up with us, you know, why you know, when we fight the seven Canaanite nations, there's an idea. First you try to make peace, and if they don't want to make peace, then you destroy them. These are not Canaanite nations. So why do you want to make peace with them? Just go kill them. There's no requirement. We're not allowed to bother them. That's only if they don't bother us. If they're bothering us, we're allowed to respond. So why is he doing that? So the answer is because he's a leader, and the leader tries to avoid blood shed at all costs. Not only as a leader could he do these negotiations, as a katzin he could not do this. And there's a certain amount of kavod, you know, he's calling the shots, and, you know, let's see if we can avoid battle. Maybe, you know, they know I'm a big gibor chayil, and I got a bunch of ruffians, and maybe that will scare them off, and I'm going to talk tough. And wouldn't he look better? Wouldn't he look better if he negotiates a truce from his purported strength? And now that's a real leader, gets you out of trouble without having to have people die in battle. That's making him the Rosh. So he's getting this whole idea of being the Rosh. I'm the spokesman. I'm the ambassador. I'm the leader. So, and therefore he talks like such a leader.
Were they B'nai Ammon in their own territory at the present time, or they were still displaced from the land?
It's a good question where they were exactly. Remember, there's a lot of desert land over here, and it's not like you're able to control the areas. It's not like you have border crossing controls and things like that. This is a big area, right? And the Jews were not inhabiting the entire area. So, you know, there were pockets of Ammon, like just like Gaza City, right? You have Gaza City with 1 million people over there. Right, but is it their place? Not, well, technically it's Israel, but you know you can't stop 1 million people from living there. So the same thing, they probably were in just certain pockets, and they were it got to the point where Hashem put in their mind to start to oppress the Jewish people. You know, terrorist attacks, whatever. It could have been mamish, the same types of thing. Terror attacks. They were making tzaras for them. How it was exact? It doesn't say they went to war against the Jews. Right. It just says that going back before, Vayiratsu, Vayirotsu, very unusual words. They broke them. They were making trouble for them. It didn't say they went to war, they did this and that. Yeah. So it could very well be they were doing terrorist stuff.
Terrorist attacks, exactly.
Could be they're trying to be freedom fighters, as they say now, right? Blowing up buses. Blowing up buses, so they're blowing up caravans in place. Right, it's very unusual words. I don't think these words were used up to now. Anytime non-Jews oppressed Jews, it was more, you know, they burnt their crops, they ate their crops, they subjugated them, subjugated. You don't have these kinds of words. It's more vayiratsu, vayirotsitsu. It's much more damaging words as opposed to controlling them. So anyway, so that's what Yiftach says. He says, "Mali v'loch. What about me and you? What do we have with each other? Ki bosei laili lochem baritzi, that you've come to me to fight in my land." In other words, he's saying, "We'll end with this." Usually, when there's a war between two nations, right? If you're going according to the normal rules of war, there's got to be a reason for a war. You know, okay, you've been using our water. You've been pillaging. You've been taking from our country. You know, it's not economically good for us. All wars are started for some reason. So he's saying, what do we do to you that you should start a war with us? So, and usually when that happens, you try to make some kind of compromise. Okay, you think we're taking too much water from the Jordan River. Okay, let's negotiate. Let's try to come up with a solution. Let's try to resolve this peacefully. He's trying to be a diplomat. Because what did we do to you? Because really they didn't do anything to them. So he's trying to become the diplomat over them. So they're going to tell him what they're upset about, that you're in our land. And now he has to have all, it's almost the same thing with the Palestinians. It's the same thing and with the answers he gives to them. And we'll pick this up on Monday, and tomorrow, Mirza Shem, we'll start the Tanya class.